listening to anything, but you're here with us, the Perry Hall Family Worship Center podcast. Today's message is meant to inspire and encourage you. If you have questions about the message or God or faith in general, you can reach out to us at connect@perryhall.life. Thanks again. What do we want from God? What do we expect from Him? I'll just take a moment as we're getting started here and run those questions through your mind. They've been running through mine the last few days. If we believe that He is good, all-powerful, all-knowing, and the very essence of loving kindness, why don't we always trust Him fully? Why do we find it so difficult to remain content with what God has already done for us? And here's a real question you can answer out loud. You don't have to. If you are a believer, do you believe that God has saved your soul and secured a place for you in heaven? Yes. Do you believe He has a plan for your life? Yes. I hate to say this, but sometimes that plan for your life may not match up to your own desires and expectations. I know it doesn't always for me. Why do we find it so difficult to remain content? Why are we not okay with the simple? Where do we get lost in all of that? If you're a believer, then you're a part of God's much larger plan. The Apostle Paul understood this. He lived what most of us would consider a pretty miserable life. He was persecuted in ways we can't imagine. He was always on the move. I have to believe he was perpetually exhausted. But Paul knew one thing. It was not about him. It was never about him. In Philippians 1:21, Paul says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Paul said, if I'm going to breathe, I'm going to do God's work. And if not, that's fine with me, because then I get to go home and be with Him finally, face to face. Too often I find that we as Christians have a much easier time following God's plan when everything's going our way. We're thrilled to follow God's plan for our life if it matches ours. But the moment the loving, kind, all-powerful, all-knowing God that we claim wants to turn left, but we want to turn right, when He wants to push forward and we want to run backwards, we begin to question Him. We question His motives, His wisdom. We will even go as far as to search God's own word to prove why we're right. We are masters of twisting and turning Scripture to meet our preferences, our desires, our wants. We'll use it as a weapon against people we disagree with. And I wonder if we often realize how backwards that actually is. As I said earlier, it's not about us. It's not about me. It never was. And if you believe the gospel, then you know God has given you something you could never afford. He has paid a debt that you couldn't cover in 1,000 lifetimes. I couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. No one could do it. And that alone is more than enough, but He doesn't stop there. He continues to work in our lives. He continues to guide and direct us. He literally walks with us and blesses us in ways we don't deserve. So the question is, what should our expectations of God be? I really believe we can find a baseline in Scripture from Jesus Himself. I really think we can find a baseline. In Matthew 6, starting in verse 9, it says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." If that is how Jesus is telling us we should pray, then we can put all that stuff in the bank. We can expect everything that we just read in that prayer. Do you believe that? So let's look at that prayer one verse at a time here. Verse 9, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." First of all, that's how we should pray. It's not how we always pray. Our prayers tend to be a little different from that, but this is the template. This is a non-self-centered, humble prayer that clearly puts things in perspective. We're the creation. He's the creator. He knows best. Sometimes we pray as if we're giving God orders. We're just telling God what we want. We're not asking what He wants. Have you ever been in that place before? And listen, He's the creator. I can't say it clearly enough. We're the creation. It's not our place to stand there and give God marching orders. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. One thing we can take away from that, God is our Father or authority. He's the authority figure here, and God is holy. So I think when we're praying, let's remember who we're speaking with. And maybe do a little more listening than talking. A little more listening, a little more seeking. Verse 10 says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sometimes I find it difficult to focus. Sometimes I find it difficult to focus on scripture itself. So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What do I need to take away from that? I need to know that it's not about me. It's about his will, not my will. I need to know that this is all part of God's plan. I am a part of God's plan. And I lose my focus sometimes. I start looking at all these little minute details in scripture. And there was a pastor friend of mine one time, and I asked him, I said, how do you deal with all of the, what I call gray areas in scripture? You know, the ones that we all argue about. We can agree on these things. These seem clear. These are black and white. How do you deal with the gray things? And he looked back at me and said, Josh, I have such a hard time focusing on and getting the black and white stuff right. I don't really have time to worry about the gray yet. And it was incredible. It changed my life. So I want to focus on some of those things here today. What are some of the black and white things we can take out of scripture? Well, I find one that I really want to focus on right now is James 1, 26 and 27. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. There is a lot happening right there. What's the first thing I take away from it? Watch your mouth. That's the very first thing. If you can't keep a tight rein on your tongue, watch your mouth. And for many of us in this room, sometimes myself included, focusing on that alone could fill up the next 6 months to a year just trying to get that right. But it's deeper than that. I don't mean just don't cuss. It's about how we speak. Colossians 4, verse 6 says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. Can anyone in here say that your conversation is always full of grace and seasoned with salt? I can't. I wish I could. Another thing out of that same passage, are we looking after orphans and widows? Are we looking after people in need? Now, I can tell you that this church partners with ministries around the world, and we're helping people in need all over the globe. But it's not about just dropping a check in the box up here so we can feel good about ourselves. Am I invested? Are you invested? Not just financially. You got skin in the game. Are you helping people in need that you know that are in your life now? Your neighbors, your family, your coworkers? We got to focus on the black and white sometimes. Moving back to the Lord's Prayer, verse 11 says, give us today our daily bread. Now, this one hurts a little bit for me. This is an expectation we can have with God. He will provide your needs. He will provide my needs. It doesn't say that I will be extremely wealthy. It doesn't say that I'll have everything I want. God will provide your needs. And you have to separate needs from wants sometimes when you're looking at this. But who are we to question him? He'll take care of you, church. Verse 12, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. If we ask God to forgive us, he does, period. He is a forgiving God. And that should be more than enough to make us not just content with God, but full of gratitude. We should be grateful every moment of every day. We should be overwhelmed by it. But a lot of times we look like the servant, the first servant of Matthew 18, starting in verse 21. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with his servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay it. Then his master was filled with pity for him and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But this creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his debt. Without gratitude for what we've been forgiving, how can we forgive others? But it is a baseline expectation that we can be forgiven and we're meant to forgive. We're meant to be a forgiving people. If we comprehend the mercy and grace in our lives, we forgive. Do you understand what you've been forgiven this morning, church? Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is a great expectation because we can expect God to lead us into freedom. We can expect God to not just forgive us and set us free, but to lead us away from temptation, away from the evil one. Am I saying, as we're looking at the Lord's Prayer, and here's some baseline expectations. Am I standing up here saying that God only does the bare minimum for us? Absolutely not. What I am saying is even if he did, we should be content. We should be grateful. We should be full of joy. If you believe your soul is saved, but you're not happy about your bank account, you're missing something. If God provides your needs daily, but you want more, you're missing something. We need to ask ourselves, can we be happy with simple lives in the service of God? If you're a believer, you've been pardoned from death row for crimes you absolutely are guilty of, and the God who pardoned you is now walking by your side, actively leading you away from the life of crime that constantly calls you back. He saved you. He is with you. This is my favorite part of today. What does God expect from us? You ready? From you, he expects you. He wants you. Now, he wants all of you. He doesn't want a partial commitment, but he wants you. We have our expectation for him. He wants you. Last night, as I was working on this, my daughter, I was on the couch typing, and she came up and said, Daddy, can I sit with you? Of course, I said, absolutely. She sat down. We're literally just sitting hip to hip. I'm working. She's playing. We're not even talking. She just wanted to be near me. She just wanted to be with me. And I know the parents out there can vouch for this. There's nothing like your child just wanting to be in your presence. I'm not talking about when I'm going somewhere like Target and they know they can wear me down and scream and beg until I buy something. I still like when they're with me then. There's something incredible about your child just wanting to be in your presence. Not when I'm folding laundry or running errands and your child wants to be with you. That's what God wants. He just wants you. He doesn't need anything else. And when my kids are with me, or when they're with my wife, that gives us a chance to pour into them. That gives us a chance to teach and talk and get to know them and steer them in the right direction. Which reminds me of Psalm 37:4. It says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Take delight in the Lord. Spend time with him. Literally, spend quiet time listening for his voice. Spend quiet time dedicated to him. And he will give you the desires of your heart. And we've talked about this up here before. I don't read this as saying, hey, God will give you whatever you want. He will give you the actual desires. He will give you his desires. He will shift the way you think. Just like a father, just like a parent, delight in the Lord, and he will give you his desires. James 4:8 says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. It's really that simple. You draw near to God, he draws near to you. Like any relationship, like any two-way relationship on this earth. I think we should live lives so full of gratitude that we're not just content, but overflowing with peace and joy. I'm telling you right now that being truly grateful, being thankful, changes everything. If you're grateful for what God's done, if you're grateful for what you have in this world, you become a completely different person. I know it's early. I want to invite the band to come back up, and I'm going to go ahead and ask the prayer team, if you could, to take your positions over here to my left and my right. I don't like to come up here and talk at you without giving you some kind of idea of something to do with it. Now, this wasn't my idea. I got it from another pastor. He called them action steps. So here's my first action step. Are you ready? I want to make a cheesy Thanksgiving gratefulness list right here together. Can we do it? We don't need to do the whole list. We just need to start it. I'm going to invite you now to grab your phone or the note card in front of you and the pen, or if you brought your own things to take notes with, that's okay. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down one thing that you're grateful for right here, right now. We'll take the time for it. I know that when you get to the Thanksgiving table every year, you're starving. You said the prayer, you watched all the football, and you just want to eat because you've saved your stomach all day. It's completely empty. And without fail, somebody, usually a mom or a grandma, says, everyone say one thing you're thankful for. Well, now you're ahead of the game because you already have that thing. You can put it in your pocket and take it with you. One thing. I want you to keep this list going throughout the week, because gratefulness, being thankful, literally changes everything. This one's going to be a little tougher. Action step number two. I want you to think of one person in your life, currently in your life, that you're grateful for. And this doesn't happen a lot, but someone up here preaching is going to ask you to text during their sermon. I want you to pull that person up in your contacts and text them a simple message. Go ahead and get your phones out. It can just be, I am grateful for you. I am thankful for you. I thank God for you. Whatever you want to say, and let that start a conversation. You can text them right here, right now. And don't worry, I've silenced my phone, so when you all text me, it won't interrupt anything. This next one's a little tougher. We put human expectations on God. And if you're doing that right now in your life, I want you to right where you're at, just repent. I want you to go to God right here, right now, and repent for putting your expectations on Him. Now I'm going to go ahead and invite you to stand. You can stand with me right now, because we're going to open the altar up here. And I don't want you to think, hey, if I go to the altar, they think I'm repenting and that means I'm a sinner. We already knew you were a sinner. I knew I was a sinner when I walked up here. Let's go ahead and stand together as the band continues to play. At any moment, if you want to come down here and just spend a moment with God, just talk about what you're grateful for. If you need to repent, that's okay too. No one is judging. No one is watching that. You say, why the altar? And I really believe sometimes a physical move can help make a spiritual change. It's not dissimilar to baptism, standing up in front of people and coming to the baptism and getting baptized. You're making a statement. So if you want to come down right now and you want to pray, we're going to let you do that. You're going to take your time. Something you're grateful for. I hope you already texted someone you're grateful for. And if there's anything you need to repent, anything you need to work through. But more than anything, I want this altar to be for people who just want to say thank you to Jesus, not to me. So if you want to come down and just pray for a minute, spend time, you can pray with each other, and our prayer team is going to be ready. If you need to pray with someone, if you need to talk, they're there and they're waiting. Come on down. If it's you, come on down. Don't worry about anybody beside you. Are you grateful? Are you thankful for anything in your life right now? Come down and tell Him. Come stand in front of our church. Forget everyone else around you and speak to Him. This isn't about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. Come on down. We'll make room. I'm going to ask the band to sing. You can sing with them, or you could just sit here and pray. It does not matter. And if you got to go, we understand. But we're going to give you time right here, right now, to spend down here with the Lord and nobody else, okay? We'll come close back in a minute.
That does it for this episode of the Perry Hall Family Worship Center podcast. We're so glad you were here. And if you want to know more about our church, you can find us at perryhall.life. Don't forget to subscribe, like, comment, follow, wherever you're listening, whatever that looks like. We're glad to have you.